Hello and welcome to Beyond the Back Page on Near FM with myself, Patrick Donohue. On the show today, I'll be joined by Donald McRae. Donald is a two-time winner of the William Hill Sports Book of the Year Award. His most recent book is entitled In Sunshine or Shadow, How Boxing Brought Hope in the Troubles. The book looks at how boxing brought Loyalist and Republican communities together at the height of the darkest day during the Troubles in Northern Ireland. And I'm delighted to say I'm joined on the line by Donald. Thanks so much, Donald, for joining me this evening.
Thanks so much for having me on, Patrick.
Brilliant. So, Donald, now you've wrote a couple of books before about boxing. So could you just tell us, to start off with, what prompted you to write this book about boxing in Northern Ireland?
Well, you know, I do love boxing, and I obviously love the fighters, and I'm fascinated by the major fights that happen. But in many ways, I think I'm always looking for what boxing can do behind the scenes. Mm. And although we know that boxing can be quite a corrupt and evil business, it also has a capacity for good. Mm. And I wanted this book to capture the way that boxing could be such a healing force in a time of such darkness and desolation in Northern Ireland in the 1970s and 80s.
Yeah, and reading the book, Donald, one character that just jumps off the page for me is Jerry Story. Can you just tell us a little bit, for people that don't know him, just what was his role? He trains boxers in the Holy Family Club. Can you tell us a bit about Jerry and the role he had in bringing the Republican and Loyalist communities together?
Sure. He's an amazing man. He's just had his 83rd birthday a couple of months ago and is still working with the Holy Family and doing wonderful work. But the book focuses on all that he did in the 1970s and 80s, when Belfast and Northern Ireland was so harshly divided. And yet he just basically ignored these divisions. Mm. He was only interested in working with boxers, and it didn't matter which side of the community they came from. They all were welcome in his gym in the Holy Family. And at the same time, he moved from Catholic Republican Belfast into Protestant/Loyalist Belfast. Again, just to spread the gospel of boxing, he worked with other gyms that were near the Shanker Road, and he worked with fighters from, as I said, both sides of the community. And he just became the symbol of hope. Mm. And, you know, three assassination attempts were made on his life, but he just continued on the same path. And he's, you know, I don't think I've met many other people who've inspired so many others in the course of his work.
Mm. And you mentioned the Loyalist communities, and one of the stories that you recount early in the book is about the Loyalists. It was essentially the Loyalist command wanted them to come to a meeting in the Shankill Road. For a lot of people, that would have been a scary experience. They offered the escort. Can you tell us what was the purpose of that meeting and what transpired when he met up with the Loyalist commandos?
Yeah, he got a call just to tell him that the boys on the Shankill wanted to meet him. Mm. And the way that him was just loaded with menace and made him understand that this was going to be an important meeting. Mm. He was a little anxious about what would happen, but he thought, well, I believe in boxing, I believe what I'm doing is good, so I will go and I will not accept the offer of an escort. So he made his way on a Sunday evening in the winter of 1972 on his own up to the Shankill Road. He was taken in by some minders, walked up some stairs, and there, when the door was open, there were 12 men waiting for him. And he picked out some faces, and he knew that they were high-ranking Loyalist commanders. He sort of said, "Good evening, fellas," and there was a bit of a silence, and then they said, "Well, we know what you're doing." Mm. And there was a long pause, and he was waiting, and then another voice said, "And we like what you're doing. We want you to continue what you're doing, because the way you're using boxing is actually good for our community." Mm. And he was kind of nonplussed by this, because I think he'd been expecting to be warned and told that he could not, as a Catholic, move into sort of Protestant and Loyalist turf. But actually he was welcomed and asked if his Catholic fighters could come onto the Shankill Road. And this is at the height of the Troubles, which is an incredible feat, isn't it?
And another remarkable aspect of his life, just after the hunger strike, he was invited in by the Republican and Loyalist prisoners. I just found that detail remarkable, that you could understand that he came from a Republican family, but I suppose the Loyalists, because he built up that credit and they respected him so much, he was the win. They wanted someone to go in and train their inmates. It was to him they turned straight away.
Unbelievable. You know, he got this call just after the Sands and Banner, the Republican prisoners, starved themselves to death in 1981. And the Maze was this infamous jail just outside of Belfast. And when he was told that the prisoners wanted him to come and work with them and teach them boxing, he said, well, who? And they said, both sides. And he couldn't quite believe this. Yeah. He said, well, I'll have to come for myself, come there myself and speak to them. And so he initially met with the Loyalist prisoners, who were led by a guy called Dusty Spence, who was quite an infamous gunman back in the 1970s when he was locked up for life. And Dusty Spence made it clear that they had asked specifically for Jerry Story to come into the Maze. And he asked them why. And he said, well, because the atmosphere in the Maze is so bleak and so hopeless, we need you to lift us up and give us some discipline and some hope, because we know what you had done on the Shankill back in the 70s. He then met with the Republican prisoners, who obviously knew his family well, and he was obviously welcomed by them, and they said something similar, that after the death of these 10 men who starved themselves to death, there was such despair in the Maze.
Yeah.
Could he help them? So on a Tuesday, he would go in and work with the Loyalists, and then on the Thursday, he would go back in to the Maze and work with the Republicans. And what was, for me, even more amazing is that in the two communities in the Maze started actually communicating with each other, and they even shared each other's equipment.
Yeah, which is amazing.
And again, as Jerry said to me now, you know, back in 2019, why could they not do this outside of the Maze? And why could they not work together?
Yeah.
Why could only boxing bind them together? And this is a theme that continues to echo in the book again and again, that boxing did have this capacity to break down division.
Yeah, and the boxers really were ahead. Like, they were ahead of the politicians, because recent years in the Northern Ireland process, people were talking about the Chuckle brothers, McGuinness and Paisley. But long before that, we had, like you recount in the book, a brilliant fight between Hugh Russell and Davy L'Amour. And they became great. Davy L'Amour was from the Shankill Road, and he fought. Could you maybe tell us, I enjoyed the account of you talking about when they fought, I think it was in Ulster Hall. It was quite a brutal fight, but they kind of left together to go to the hospital after the fight.
I know. They both came out of the Holy Family boxing gym. Davy mainly been on sort of the Shankill, but had done a lot of work at the Holy Family. So he and Hugh knew each other well. And when they turned professional, they always were on a collision course. And they fought twice. But the first fight, which was at the Ulster Hall in 1982, was such a bloody battle, which Hugh just won on a sort of close decision. And both of them needed to go to hospital, and a boxing official said to Davy, how are you getting up to the hospital? And Davy said, no, I'm going up, I'm driving myself. He was a taxi driver when he was not fighting professionally. And he said, no, I'm going up in my cab. And the official said, Hugh's in a bad way, would you mind giving him a lift? And Davy said, no, of course not. So these two fighters, a Catholic and a Protestant, who just knocked each other all over the place and cut each other badly, get into Davy's cab and drive up to hospital. And they're having a wee chuckle, because thinking, what happens if we get stopped by the army? What are they going to make of a Protestant and a Catholic bleeding all over a taxi? Anyway, they get to the hospital without being stopped. A nurse sort of shows them into a ward and puts a screen between them. And she says, the doctor will be in soon to see see you. So they're both exhausted and lying on adjoining beds with the screen between them. The doctor opens the door and he sees Davy and he says, "Oh my God, what happened to you? Who did this to you?" Davy pulls back the screen and he said, "This fellow over here, and he needs more stitches than I do," even though he won the fight. And for me, that just sort of summed up the humor and kind of the unbelievable craziness of what these two guys had done. And you know, many years later, they still talk about that fight, argue a little bit about who won. And of course, Davy won the second fight, so it was 1-1. And jokingly, they talk about having a third fight, which of course they never will be.
And you start the book talking about Bloody Sunday and Charlie Nash. Can you tell us a little bit about Charlie Nash? He was a hero in Derry, and tell us about his brother was killed in Bloody Sunday. Can you just tell us a little bit about Charlie and how Willie was killed in Bloody Sunday?
Yes. Well, Charlie and Willie were both boxers. Charlie was a fantastic amateur champion and certainly was the finest amateur in Ireland in 1972 when Bloody Sunday happened. And Willie was not as good a boxer. He was, his nickname was Stiff because he was a bit cumbersome. He could bang and sort of knock down his opponents, but he didn't have the fluidity of Charlie. But Willie was just quite a gentle soul, and unfortunately he got shot and killed on Bloody Sunday. And Charlie was coming back that day from a boxing tournament in Dublin, and he heard about the shooting, and there was talk that possibly Willie had been injured. So he goes to the hospital, and he learns that his father has also been shot and is in a ward in the hospital. And he's told to go down to another part of the hospital, down to the basement. He didn't know that this was the morgue. But he's quickly discovered that there were 12 bodies laid out, covered in sheets. And he had to watch as the sheet was pulled back from each body. And it was chilling because he knew each person who had died on Bloody Sunday, and almost all of them were connected to the boxing club. They were either boxers themselves, or their sons were boxers, or their fathers had been boxers. And then finally, the sheet was pulled back, and he saw that it was Willie. And he was obviously absolutely devastated by this. And the soldier at the sort of exit to the morgue was basically just smiling at him and blocking him. And this incited Charlie, and he wanted to lash out, but he thought, "No, I'm not." Anyway, he gets home, and a day or two later, the RA comes to see him and say, "Charlie, you are the most famous man in our city. We want you to join us and avenge the death of Willie and the 12 other people who were shot down on Bloody Sunday." But he was a gentleman, and he said no. He just would not even consider doing this because he said, "What good will it do if I make another family suffer the way that my family has suffered now?" And again, you know, like Joey's story, he chose the path of peace and reconciliation, which is enormously moving when you think about how much he and his family had suffered on Bloody Sunday.
Yeah, and boxing was a refuge for him in the aftermath. And remarkably, he competed at the Olympics the same year, just a few months after. I thought that was remarkable.
Yeah, it was. And Joey was in his corner. So he would sort of go down to Belfast on weekends, which was an escape from Bloody Sunday and the aftermath of what had happened. But yes, as you say, incredible that just sort of 5 months after Willie's death, you know, he was fighting in Munich in the Olympic Games.
And you finished the book talking about Barry McGuigan and his great fight. How was Barry McGuigan was a remarkable figure in that he united the people in the Falls Road, the Shankill Road. Everyone was fighting him. How was Barry McGuigan able to bridge that gap and get everyone in behind him?
Well, he was quite clear to me when I've known him for many years, and when I spoke to him about the book and said I obviously wanted to include him, he was so helpful to me. But he also did say you have to make sure that you pay tribute to Jerry's story, because he had set the template for uniting boxing fans from the Shankill and the Falls Road. And by the time Barry McGuigan came on the scene 10 years later, there was this sort of ability in Belfast for the two communities to come together. Mm. And McGuigan was obviously the best fighter of the time by some distance. And obviously he went on and he fought and won a world title. And he took this onto the world stage. Whereas before, I think Jerry Story had been much more on the domestic level. Barry McGuigan took it to the rest of Ireland, the UK, and obviously globally. But it was, again, just continuing the work that had been done at the Holy Family in the early 70s.
Yeah, and that was an incredible night, the night he won in Loftus Road. And it seemed, I was watching some footage of it over the last couple of days, it just struck me as a very emotional night. And Barry McGuigan, I think, deserves an awful lot of credit because his father sung Danny Boy, and near to his thoughts early in his career, he inadvertently killed Young Ali, the Nigerian boxer. So it was incredible that he was able to keep all that emotions in check and channel it right when he won that fight in Loftus Road.
And of course, once he'd won, all that emotion just poured out of him. It was, you know, he had a lot of tears, and it's so moving that within sort of 30 seconds of him being interviewed on the BBC, he was emphasizing, and he couldn't get the words out because of the tears, but Harry Carpenter, the famous old commentator, knew the context, and he was able to explain that Barry wanted to pay tribute to Young Ali, who unfortunately had lost his life after their fight a couple of years before that. So for all, you know, the good that boxing did at in the time of the Troubles, it was haunting the fact that, as we know, boxing can do this. It can take the lives of its fighters. And so that's how the book ends. And, you know, yes, you alluded to the fact that his dad sang Danny Boy. Mm. And the title of the book comes from Danny Boy, you know, in Sunshine or in Shadow. And certainly the shadows of the past, both in terms of the Troubles and also the death of Young Ali, were felt deeply that night. But there was also this unbelievable burst of sunshine because his win and becoming world champion again united just for a fleeting moment Northern Ireland and the two communities. And in the end, I think the sunshine just about won out, but of course the darkness did come back again quite quickly.
Yeah, and certainly. And I thought it was interesting that you recount in the book Jerry Story, he wasn't even at the fight, and it just kind of summed him up for me, the wee anecdote that he, on the night of the fight, he called to his local shop just picking up supplies. That just summed him up to me. He seemed to be very unassuming, and I think you said in the book that he was just doing his usual job, training his young boxers that morning of the fight.
And, you know, he got many offers from famous fight figures in the USA to leave Belfast and go work in the USA as a professional trainer. And I think I'm not embellishing this by saying that I think he would have made millions and become one of the world's most famous professional trainers if he had moved to the US. But as he said to me when I asked him why he didn't, he said, well, what would happen if all the good people left Belfast? And certainly I think he's perhaps the best person in Belfast because of the work that he has done for decades and continues to do. But yes, as you say, it summed him up that while all the attention and the limelight was on Barry McGuigan, which he deserved, the man who started it all just was watching the fight on television with his family and getting set for the next morning to go back to work with his amateur boxers.
Yeah, he's such a hero in the book. Before I let you go, he's still training away boxers there, and I thought it was brilliant that you recounted in the book. You talked about he's now training female boxers there, and that's something he's passionate about. So he just how is Jerry, and was he happy with the end product? Has he read the book, and what was the feedback he gave?
Look, it was vital that all five of the key figures in the book, I shared it with them before it was published, because obviously it's a their lives, and I'm glad to say that all five of them were particularly happy with the book. And so, yes, I've seen him quite a few times since the book has been published. We did an event together at the Belfast Book Festival, where I'm glad to say all the attention was on him. And yeah. I think he quite enjoyed it as people were asking him to sign copies of the book. And the following, this was only last month, and then the following day he was off to Minsk for the European Championship with a young heavyweight fighter.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he just keeps going on and on. And, you know, whenever I go visit him, I make sure that I go in the evening to see him working with his young fighters, and there'll be 30 or 40 teenage, even younger boys, and now, as you say, girls working with him. And this man in his 80s, you know, should be sitting back and thinking about all the fantastic achievements he did, but he's just looking forward and helping these young people find the best in themselves.
That is brilliant. Listen, he's one of a central five characters that are brilliant, really, really interesting and compelling characters. Listen, Donald, thanks so much for joining us. It was great to talk to you today.
Oh, thank you, Patrick. Been good to talk to you.
That's great. Thank you very much for joining us. Cheers. That was brilliant. That was Donald McRae, whose new book, In Sunshine or in Shadow, How Boxing Brought Hope in the Troubles, is available now. And I mentioned earlier, Donald has been nominated. He's actually won two William Hill Sports Book of the Year prizes, which is the most prestigious prize for sports writing in the UK. And I would hazard a guess, I think this book is going to be right up there in the run. It's a really, really excellent read. And for those interested in boxing and interested in that dark period in Northern Ireland, will find the book compelling. Thanks a million for tuning in this evening. Thanks to my guest, Donald McRae.